Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuhu, and a very warm welcome to what number? The 200th episode of the Arabic with Sam podcast. This has been a journey, subhanAllah. May Allah bless you guys with beautiful Arabic, and may Allah continue to improve and increase our community in barakah, and increase all of us in knowledge. Allahumma ameen. So what are we going to do to mark this excellent day? What will we do to celebrate our 200th episode of this podcast? Well, really, I didn't actually plan something specifically about 200. We're not learning the word 200 or something. We're really just going to cover a topic which is one of my favorites, actually, is something to do with the speech of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A topic that I really love in studying the Arabic language is the way that our beloved messenger spoke, the language that he chose, and the hadith in general. And actually, before we get into today's hadith, I want to give a quick shout out to Virginia. I know that sounds strange, but I've been looking at my analytics for this podcast, and it makes sense that certain countries are big on listening to Arabic podcasts. I mean, podcasts generally are big in the US and, you know, other countries in the Middle East, UAE, etc. But why Virginia? So if any of you guys are from Virginia, USA, let me know. If you're watching on YouTube, put it in the comments, or if you want to DM me on Instagram at Arabic with Sam or something, then I'd like to hear from you guys. Like, who are the people from Virginia? Like, I've actually come into contact with loads of students from California, from New York. They're like very kind of cosmopolitan, big states, aren't they? But Virginia, you don't hear about a lot of Muslim or Arabic action in general in Virginia. So shout out to you guys. Thank you so much for supporting the podcast. Okay. So what we're going to get into today is some very practical advice from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we'll talk, of course, about the Arabic, which is used in there as well. And this is a hadith I've implemented in my life very recently, in kind of my journal, part of my documents on Notion. I've added this hadith in there because it's such a useful hadith that you can probably implement in your life from today, inshallah. So how does it go? عن عائشة رضي الله عنها أنها قالت ما خير رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بين أمرين إلا أخذ أيسرهما ما لم يكن إثما فإن كان إثما كان أبعد الناس منه وما انتقم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لنفسه إلا أن تنتهك حرمة الله فينتقم لله بها. Very nice. So of course this hadith, we'll begin with the isnad, is on the authority of the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Aisha. And you will notice that although Aisha is after an, there is only one haraka and it is a fatha. Why on earth would we have a fatha on a word after a harf jar? Well, Aisha, although it is an Arabic name, it is a feminine name, and feminine names are what we call mamnu'a min as-sarf. They are they don't express all of the vowels in expressing their case endings. So, on the authority of Aisha, radiyallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her, annaha, that she, anna plus her, qalat, that she said, ma khuyyira. Okay, khuyyira is from a form two, khayyira, but this is passive. Whenever you hear like a u'i'a over a verb, khuyyira, zuwija, kuwira, many verbs like this. I'm particularly referencing the verbs that are used at the beginning of Surah At-Takwir. We have either shamsu kuwirat, sujirat, nufusu zuwijat, wa idhal mawudatu su'ilat, qutilat. We have these u'i'a verbs, and this is a khuyyira. So this is the verb khayyara actually means to present a choice, right? So we're saying that the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was not, the ma before is a negation, he was not presented with a choice. Okay, ma khuyyira, using ma before past tense verbs is perfectly fine. Often in our Arabic programs we either learn that you can use ma with a fi'l madi or a past tense verb, or you use lam with a fi'l majzoom. Is one of them more eloquent than the other? No. Allah Azza wa Jalla uses both of them in the Quran, so who are we to say that one of them is not eloquent? But the more difficult one is to use lam with majzoom, I think, grammatically. But, even it's used here in the hadith. This part of the hadith is a part of the isnad. But actually, this is what Aisha herself actually says, which is interesting. I hadn't really thought about the dynamic of The eloquence of the companions who narrated the hadith themselves, but this is something that Aisha, anyway, radiallahu anha, is explaining, that the Messenger of Allah, he was not presented with a choice, bayna amrayn, between two amrayn, between two matters. A amr is a matter, or an issue at hand. There's the expression fi amrina hadha, in this matter of ours, meaning Islam. Good, so bayna amrayni, between two amr, between two matters. Illa akhadha aysarahuma, illa meaning accept. Akhadha, he took, aysarahuma, aysara meaning the easiest, okay? We know this word for easy. Allah uses it in Surah Al-Ashrah as well, actually. Inna ma'al usri yusran, this yusr, here in the tafdeel, in the easiest version of it is aysar. So the easiest of huma, easier of the two. Okay, so what is she saying here? She's saying that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not presented with two options, except that he took the easier of the two. How often in our lives do we create things that are more difficult for ourselves? Like so often I think it's common in the Muslim community actually that we actually think that a opinion which is more difficult is the correct one, simply because it's more difficult and we don't want to be lazy people. But we're hearing that the Messenger himself, alayhi salatu wassalam, he actually chose the easier of the two things. It's not that it's inherently virtuous to do things that make your life harder, you know, as we sometimes get the impression that it is sometimes. Okay, let's continue with the hadith. Ma lam yakun ithman. Ma lam yakun ithman. So, let's work backwards, actually. This lam yakun ithman is nice and easy, I think, actually. Lam yakun is an example of what I said a second ago about making a verb past tense using lam and then the verb in the majzoor. We have lam yakun. It was not ithman. It was not an itham. An itham is a sin. However, we're very familiar with another word for sin, a dhanb, the plural of which is dhunub. We hear that all over the place, right? So what's the difference between an itham and a dhanb? So it was explained to me by my Arabic teacher, not from like a tafsir perspective, but an Arabic language teacher taught me that an itham is specifically a sin which is directly harmful to others. Specifically, it could be sins more generally as well. That is harmful directly to others. As sometimes Allah refers to things that have like a societal impact as itham, right? Whereas things that might be done in secret or something could be a dhanb. So for example, there's this ayah in Surah Al-Hujurat I was thinking of, where I'm going to start the ayah and I'm not sure if it ends up in the place I wanted to. So bear with me. What is it? يَا الَّذِينَ آمِنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَفِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنَّ إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ. Oh, it did end up in the right place, alhamdulillah, yeah. So Allah says in Surah Al-Hujurat, He says, O those of you who have believed, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمِنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا بِمَعْنَى ابْتَعِدُوا. اجْتَنِبُوا, avoid, meaning stay away from, meaning ابْتَعِدُوا. اجتنبوا كثيراً, a lot من الظن, from suspicion, إن بعض الظن إثم, that some suspicions are not only sinful but harmful. It's sinful to have those suspicions, but it's harmful because it can actually have an effect. It makes you actually spy on people, as Allah continues, ولا تجسسوا, and do not spy on people. Anyway, I digress on now what the إثم is. But what's meant here when she says ما لم يكن إثمًا, she's saying what is not a sin. Okay, so she's saying that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would always choose the easier thing, what is not sinful. Okay, so if the easier thing is sinful, of course he wouldn't choose it. In fact, she says, "For in kana ithman." So if it is an itham, if it is sinful, kana abad al nasi minhu. He was the abad, from the adjective, the sifa ba'id, meaning far. An-nas, abad, meaning the most far, an-nas, so he was the furthest of the people, minhu, from it. See, this is really interesting, actually. So I was kind of taught by the Puritan Arabic teachers that I had, that we usually choose to say قريب من and بعيد عن. Hence, we have ابتعد عن, the distance yourself عن something, and اقترب للناس حسابهم. No, that doesn't use اقترب من, but usually we'll use قريب من, close to, and بعيد عن. But here we actually have أبعد منه. We have أبعد منه. Or maybe this is أبعد because it's sort of a comparative, maybe. In any case, we're saying if it was sinful, فإن كان إثمًا, كان أبعد الناس, he was the furthest, and كان أبعد rather than أبعدو, because this is the خبر of كان, actually. It's the thing that he was. He was the furthest of the people from it, منه. Good. And then, وما انتقم, and he didn't انتقم. The Urdu speakers among you probably know the word intiqam. Yeah, the Urdu language, Pakistanis among you know Urdu, you'll know that. But for some reason, I don't know why, but the Urdu language seems to love these in words. Intizar, intishar, inkilab, intiqam hai. You know, they seem to like, Urdu seems to really like these, but borrowing these in words. But intaqama means to take revenge. Intiqam is revenge. So, وَمَا انْتَقَمَ, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not take revenge لِنَفْسِهِ, for himself. Okay, if he was wronged, he didn't take revenge for himself. إِلَّا أَن تُنْتَهَكَ حُرْمَةُ اللَّهِ فَيَنْتَقِمُ لِلَّهِ بِهَا. Good, so إِلَّا, we've already seen this word actually, إِلَّا, except, أَن تُنْتَهَكَ, from the verb إِنْتَهَكَ, actually is a form 8 verb actually, I believe, although it begins with in. I think the root letters are actually noon, ha, and kaf. I think it's actually intahaka. And this is passive as well. So we saw a example of a past passive verb with huyira. We'll have this u'i'a. And with present tense, we have tuntahaka. Tuntahaka here is passive, form 8. And it means, from the verb intahaka, it means to violate or to transgress, let's say. Transgress the hurmatullahi. The hurma of Allah are the boundaries, let's say, except if the boundaries of Allah were transgressed. And it's hurmatu, which is the na'ib fa'il, it's the subject here actually, because tuntahaka is passive with a tu at the beginning. It's because it's feminine, because hurma is a feminine word. Tuntahaka hurmatullahi, the hurma of Allah. This is again a very kind of classic idafa structure here. Okay, good. Then he would do what, right? Then فَيَنْتَقِمُ, then he would take revenge. And he takes revenge لِلَّهِ بِهَا, for Allah by it. Okay, for Allah, sort of because of the hurma being tuntahaka, right? Okay, so some key vocab just for me to recap before bringing this to a close, inshallah. So the verb khayyara, to present someone with a choice, or here khayyara, and it actually does share the same root letters with the verb ikhtara, it must do. Last week, actually, we saw the verbs ishtaqa, meaning to miss, and ikhtara, meaning to choose. So it actually does have the same root letters as that. So khayyara, bayna amrayni, between two matters. And the word aysar, the easiest. And then abad as well, another kind of comparative word. Abad, the furthest. And itham, a sin, and then in brackets, usually a harmful one. Yeah, or even there's actually there's kind of a sifa that comes from that as well, actually, afim. The word afim is used in Surah Al-Dukhan. Allah uses it talking about the tree of Zakum. Subhanallah, I'd love for all of you just to go and read Surah Al-Dukhan. That's such a little gem, only like a few juz from the back. And it's such a surah of superlatives, really. Like, it's, as mentioned in it, of the worst punishments of the fire, of the most mentioned prophets, of the worst people to have walked the earth, of the best book, of the best knights. It's a surah of superlatives. That's my view. I've never heard a mufassir say it's a surah of superlatives, but that's my feeling of it when I read it. And anyway, it comes onto this passage about the tree of Zaqqum, where it says إِنَّ شَجَرَةَ الزَّقُومِ طَعَامُ الْأَثِيمِ, that the tree of Zaqqum is the food for the sinners, right? But here specifically using the word athim, as in sinners who have harmed other people with their sins. إِنَّ شَجَرَةَ الزَّقُومِ طَعَامُ الْأَثِيمِ كَالْمُهْلِ يَغْلِي فِي الْبُطُونِ كَغَلِّي الْحَمِيمِ. I'll let you just go and read it. It's beyond the scope of this lesson, inshallah. Anyway, let me have a look and see if there was anything I wanted to round off on, inshallah. No, that's everything. Let's leave it there. I'm not going to bore you with lots of outro and loads of notes at the end. So that's everything for today's lesson. Thank you so much for joining in and for listening to the Arabic with Sam podcast. May Allah bless you guys. And as always, may Allah bless you guys with beautiful Arabic. Assalamu alaikum.